presented by the Small Business Payments Alliance.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Thursday, May 2nd. Here is what's driving the day. First up, don't call it a comeback. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is on something of a redemption tour. He is making peace with his biggest foes, Disney and now Donald Trump. It all amounts to DeSantis' latest act as a burgeoning GOP money machine. Quote, campaigning for GOP candidates in Florida and beyond in coming months. Also taking a leading role in fighting an abortion rights referendum in his home state. Our colleague Gary Finet has a great story up this morning and in the newsletter straight from Florida. And yesterday, Arizona lawmakers voted to repeal the state's Civil War era abortion ban. The legislation is expected to soon be signed into law by Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs. And for the first time since his criminal court case went to trial, former President Donald Trump is at a rally. Two, as a matter of fact. On Wednesday, the former president conducted rallies in Michigan and Wisconsin. And joining me now to talk about those Trump rallies is someone I think people know, Ryan Lizza, a new reporter that we're having on. Ryan, thanks for coming for your first time on the pod.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate that. Good morning.
Ryan, yesterday you were kind of all eyes on the two Trump rallies. I mean, the thing that I think he talked about, not maybe the most, but maybe is the most interesting, is abortion. One, Vice President Harris was in Florida, his now home state, talking about him and abortion. And he was talking about abortion in these rallies as well. Quite a few moments about it. He laments that it was him that brought this all together, but then also kind of downplaying the impacts of Roe v. Wade on the actual world of abortion and reproductive access as it stands right now. What do you think?
Yeah, these two rallies, he did the same riff twice on abortion. I'm sure it's going to get a lot of attention. And he pointed out in the first one in Wisconsin that it was not in his prepared remarks. He said that was not in the teleprompter, and he was sort of bragging after he delivered this this riff and said he wanted to do it because he thinks it's important. And he did essentially the same at the second rally in Michigan. So interesting on two levels. One is, I think, because Harris was in Florida today, so you have what we in the biz love to call the split screen. Split screen moment, to use the old cliche. Kamala Harris is down there emphasizing, you know, the 6-week abortion ban is in effect because Donald Trump's justices on the Supreme Court overturned Roe. And here is Trump in the Midwest, where he genuinely, you know, I think he realizes it's a vulnerability and he's trying to explain it. And he does the same thing he's done, you know, several times now and since his big abortion position statement, you know, talking about, you know, the whole point was for the court to send this back to the states and we all, you know, have to live with what the states do. And, you know, that's a good system. So he spent a lot of time explaining it that way. And then I think there's a second reason though, Eugene. In the second rally, he thanked each of the conservative justices who overturned Roe and thanked them for their wisdom and their courage.
I wonder why. What could that possibly be? What could he be doing there?
So, I mean, knowing Trump as we all know him, surely this is another part of the saying nice things about the Supreme Court as it decides the immunity case. So for a number of reasons, abortion and this court very much on Trump's mind in the Midwest.
I mean, one of the things he was kind of complaining about is that, oh, I had to do two events on the same day because they got my ass in court too much. It's messing up my campaign schedule. So it's on his mind, but also, I mean, the first question is, because these were the first events that he's had since really he's been in court, did he violate his gag order that he's already been in trouble for?
I did not hear anything that I would have that I think violates the gag order.
Caveat, when no one on here is a lawyer.
He attacked the judges He attacked Mershon. He talked about how all the cases are being driven by Biden. He said that kind of strange thing he often does when he compares himself to, as he put it, the great Alphonse Capone, who was a murderer but wasn't indicted as many times as he was. And he slipped in a little complaint about how he had to do both of these states in one day, Wednesday, as I think one of our colleagues calls it, Wacky Wednesday, because that's when Trump's out there. Let it be known that it's annoying that he's stuck in the courtroom and this is the only day he can campaign.
Ryan, it feels like it was very clear in the primary that the indictments helped Donald Trump in the primary. It is a little less clear.
Eugene does talk about that. It's really interesting how he actually mentioned, like, you know, how quickly he cleaned up in the primary and how it was the indictments that helped him do that.
Yeah, and that's kind of been his thing, is like, these indictments are helping me. I'm the big bad wolf. But in court, that's not how he appears. So I guess when you're thinking about kind of how we see the impact of this court case, no matter what ends up happening, how are you thinking about this?
Well, I think it's a really good question, because in court, the political, you know, pundits for the last few weeks, we've all been saying how diminished he is. He fell asleep. He comes out in that little like cage that literally looks like a prison, right? With the racks and does his, you know, and does his press conferences. I mean, the images haven't been beneficial. And so if you watched the rallies yesterday, just from a pure optics perspective, it was, you know, very, very much the opposite of that.
Kind of old school Trump.
Old school Trump. He seemed so happy to have those crowds doing old school Trump riffs, comparing himself to Al Capone, all that
Alphonse.
Stuff. Alphonse Capone, the great Alphonse Capone. And if you remember a few weeks ago, the last time he did a rally and a few rallies earlier this year, there were a lot of moments where the Biden team plucked out because he sounded like he wasn't making any sense at all.
Talking about Obama in the White House.
Yeah, almost like, you know, what do we call those? Senior moments? You know, there was none of that. It was erratic and sort of wild in the usual sense of Trump, but not in the, sleepy Don sense of Trump. So, and I was just texting with someone after the rallies, and they were sort of pumping up that point too. Is like, you know, this is like classic Trump is back.
Yeah, like the boss is back.
Yeah.
Ryan Lizza, thank you, sir, for coming on. You were so hard to book, hardest person to book that we've ever had on
the
show.
I'm very busy, but thank you for having me on your podcast. It's been a pleasure.
We'll see if we do it again.
And for your schedule today, the Senate is in and the House is out. And on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue, President Biden will be spending the day in North Carolina. He will first visit Charlotte to pay respects to the families of the police officers killed in the line of duty on Tuesday. Later, he's going to deliver remarks on his Investing in America agenda in Wilmington before returning to the White House. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the Small Business Payments Alliance. According to a new survey, an overwhelming majority of small business owners oppose additional government regulations on the electronic payment system, as called for in the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. Don't let Durbin-Marshall pile new mandates on Main Street small businesses. Learn more at smallbusinesspaymentsalliance.com.